Then, Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be back in church. Amen. Amen. Brothers, you're going to get the words up here for us in a minute. And this screen is just jumping up and down. We'll get things worked out here in a minute. Brother Louie called me and asked me to help out, and so we'll try to do the best I can, but I need your help. Amen. Did you enjoy Wednesday night service? Yes. Hey, Brother Joe done a good job. Amen. God bless you, Brother Joe. Amen. I didn't know you was that old, Brother Joe. I got tickled with them glasses. See, what you have to do, you got to get bifocals or you just leave them on. Amen. Let's sing the second verse if we can find that and get it up there. They're all expecting me. They're waiting on us. Amen. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know He'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The song of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to welcome everyone to service tonight, and especially those that's streaming on the internet. Certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. It's always a privilege to be able to come to the house of the Lord. the Lord left it as a commandment to forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, but Brother Horn, it's much more than that to us. We consider it a privilege, not a commandment. Amen. We're going to have Brother Terry Horn to come and bring our prayer requests this evening and lead us in prayer. Let's sing a little chorus as he's coming. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Amen. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there.
Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Best song we could sing. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Let's sing it one more time before we take this. Leave it there. Just leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. If you just remain standing a few minutes while we look at these requests. You know, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we have church, and as He said, it's a privilege to come to church. It is a commandment, but it's a privilege. And we look forward to coming to church because this is an eternal word. And an eternal word means it's constantly unfolding. We learn more and more about our bridegroom, about our Savior, our lover, the one that we've been married to, the one that we are in love with, the one that we desire to spend eternity with. We're learning more and more about Him. That's why I love to come to church. I love to be with my wife. We're going on 39 years of blissful marriage. Sometimes she said, well, it's blissful, but it's been a little blistering, but it's been blissful. And, you know, it's a first love relationship. So when we pray, let's be concerned about the needs that we pray for. And I'm convinced that we could see much finer results if we could just enter into these people's suffering and really pray, and not as a ritual like they did. And, you know, when they had the Passover and so forth, they just, you know, offer up their lambs and sacrifices. They become a ritual. God don't like that. Let's pray earnestly. Continue to pray for Sister Nola Babb that she can adjust her pacemaker. She had one about 4 days ago, and we just want to remember her in prayer that she will adjust to that, and the Lord will continue to touch her. Brother James Stamper is back in the hospital with congestive heart failure, kidney failure, and infection in his foot. My brother is 94 years old. The Lord has been gracious to him, but let's remember Brother Stamper as we pray also tonight. Brother Maxwell, he's had a real hard time, but we've got some good news, a good report this time. Brother Jim Maxwell has had surgery for skin grafts, and it went well. The doctors seem to think that he may have more use of his leg than previously expected, to continue to pray for a complete healing for him. Up until this time, it's kind of been, he hasn't really begun to in the healing process because he's had some issues there and some contamination and so forth, but they think they've got it all. It is the skin graft, so I think that he can start to heal now. So let's continue to pray for Brother Jim that the Lord will grant this. He had one come to the library. Brother Jeff Jenkins asked us to pray for Brother Lonnie. Last night at the family camp service, it was determined cancer was found in the bladder and prostate. There's concern for the heart also and fluid retention. We are very concerned and certainly appreciate the prayers of the saints around the world. So let's remember Brother Lonnie as we pray also tonight. We have a request here for Sister Shirley, no name attached, still having pain in my hip. So let's remember her as we pray. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, as I said, let's try to all be concerned about these requests. You pray, and we'll see some results. We'll see. There'll be testimonies come in for what we're going to pray about tonight. Would you do that? One to put 1,000 flat, two 10,000. So let's pray and believe. Let's bow our heads. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, as we come to You tonight, Heavenly Father, I want to welcome you to the service, first of all. I pray that you would take the uppermost seat, as we would say. We don't come just for a protracted meeting, just because we've been commanded to come to church. As he said, it's a privilege to come to church. One day, perhaps these doors will be closed, and we won't have that opportunity, that privilege, to come to the house of God and enjoy the blessings and learn of you and worship you and give you praise and adoration and the one that we're going to live eternally with. And I want to see the man Christ Jesus. When the prophet was taken beyond the curtain of time, he said, I want to see Jesus. He's, well, he's a little bit higher, but one day we'll see the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's been my desire ever since I've been saved. The one that saved me, I want to see him. I want to fall down in his feet and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me from a life of sin. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from a downward path that you give me eternal life. And Lord, I pray tonight. I think about people, they buy a new car and they have insurance, and they buy a home and they put insurance on it, and they wouldn't think about having a new vehicle without putting insurance on it. But what about that soul? Do they have any assurance for that soul? That soul's eternal. That car in 10 years will be gone. The house in so many years will be gone. One day it'll be as ash. But what about that soul? Oh God, may we make preparation to have assurance for that soul. Let this be a soul-saving station. If there's one here tonight that's never been saved, that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost, let this night be that night that they can receive that token life. If there's somebody that's listening in that's never been saved, that's never had the life of Jesus Christ, never had a new birth. A new birth means you have a new life. You've been transformed. You've been altogether made new. Lord, may they be touched tonight. I pray for Brother Jim, Lord, that you'll touch him. Continue to bring a restoration of health and healing to his body and give him grace, Lord, I pray. And Sister Shirley, she had a pain in her hip. You be with her. You know all about the condition. Sister Nola, we ask that you would touch her and help her, Lord, to adjust to having the pacemaker installed and give her strength, Lord, for the journey, what days lie ahead for her and for us alike. And each one, Lord, and I'm sure we didn't ask, but I'm sure that everyone has a unsaved loved one, someone that they're praying for that would love to see saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. May you be with that special request, Lord, that people have upon their hearts. And every need is, and I pray that you would bless our brother tonight as he brings the Word of God. Lord, let it be a spiritual food in due season. I seem to say that because we want present day truth. What would you have for us tonight? What will we need tonight? And may we pull on the gift of God. May we receive something from the hand of God. And when we leave this place, we say it's surely been good to be in the house of God. Lord, as we prayed over these requests, I'm looking and expecting testimonies for each one of these people that they healed and touched and delivered and brought closer to you. Perhaps even many saved somewhere. Let it be a let it happen, Lord. God, we ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Maybe if the brothers had come at this time, we'd like to receive the offering. I'd like to sing an old song together. If you could remain standing, we'll sing one more song. And we got a couple of song specials this evening. Brother Fred Green, where's he at? I think he has a song special for us. And then also we have Sister Laurie Wyko. So maybe toward the end of the song, if they'd come and get ready to sing for us. The song's I've Been Changed. They can find the words to this old song. I hope somebody knows it besides me. Amen. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, I've been changed. Oh, my sins were scarlet, they're white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free.
was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, I've been changed. And when at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new hope beyond the sky. Oh, I've been changed and I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has been. All my life, praise God, I've been changed. Oh, I've been changed and I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference. Praise God, I've been changed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Brother Fred.
Fred.
You can be seated.
Bless you, Brother Fred. I believe that's what Brother Timothy said. Oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day. For I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. When the Spirit tried to tell me I would not the truth receive, I endeavored to be happy and to make myself believe.
Raise it up.
But it's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. When the truth came close and searching, all my joy would disappear, for I did not have the witness of the Spirit bright and clear. When at times the coming judgment would appear before my mind, oh, it made me so uneasy, for God's smile I could not find. But it's real, it's real, oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, and I know it's real. But at last, I tired of living such a life of fear and doubt. For I wanted God to give me something I would know about, so the truth would make me happy and the light would clearly shine. And the Spirit gave assurance that I'm His and He is mine. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, and I know it's real. So I prayed to God in earnest, and not caring what folks said, I was hungry for this message. My poor soul, it must be fed. When at last, by faith, I touched Him, and like sparks from smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real. Sing it with me. But it's real.
Just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine.
may turn to gray, I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead.
Stand together as we change the order of the service. Hallelujah. This is a late prayer request. It says, please remember Sister Carol Samuel's family in your prayer from Arkansas. She passed away last night. So everybody remember that. I know some of you that know them and have heard about it. So remember that in your prayers. Brother Harry's going to lead us in a song, and as we change the order of the service, I understand that Brother David Seiler is going to be speaking for us. And so, are you expecting?
Amen.
Amen. Pull on the gift of God tonight, and God never disappoints. Never does. Amen.
Everybody help me sing this chorus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, this world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I won't turn back.
Oh, I won't turn back.
I won't turn back.
Brother, it's been a battle every step of the way. Amen. But we're going to keep pressing, keep fighting. One day, Brother Ram said, God's going to give you the kingdom. You keep pressing, keep fighting. He said, God will give you the kingdom one day. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, I just invite you to the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 61 this evening. Isaiah chapter 61 is where we'd like to read from to give you our subject. Certainly appreciate God giving us the grace to be able to come this evening and just looking for something from Him, ain't you? Amen. If you come looking for something from David Siler, you come be sadly mistaken. But if you come expecting, you'll get what you expect tonight. Amen. You need healing, God will meet your need. Need salvation, God will meet your need. He's here to meet it tonight. Amen. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So if you're brokenhearted, He's here to heal tonight. If you need liberty, He's here to set you free. If you're in prison, He's here to let you loose. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of a vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise of the Spirit for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Let's just bow our hearts and ask the Lord to help us this evening. Amen. If you have a need upon your heart, just put that knee before the Lord this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so insufficient this evening without You. We ask that You would come, Lord, and may You help each and every one of us as we've gathered into this building, Lord. Help us to become surrendered vessels to You. Lord, we are just looking to You and what You would have to say to us, Father, and we just have such need of You to come by this service this evening. Lord, I realize I'm just a man and these are just people, but we believe within this man and within these people is the mighty God that's veiled in our lives. And we are looking to You now, Lord, that You would come and help us to be able to receive something from Your table. Lord, may you take the word as you did the bread many years ago. May you break it to our hearts and may our eyes come open. May you grant it tonight, Lord. I just surrender to you and give you my heart, give you my life now. Forgive us, Lord, each one. Anything that we've done wrong, said wrong, I pray that you'd forgive us now, Lord, as we look into your word. Help us now, Father. May you encourage us by it, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. I want to just start with this little thought this evening, that the Lord will help us and you will help me this evening. If you will help me preach, I'll preach fast. You say amen fast and we'll get done fast. But I believe that we need to, something that's upon my heart that I have been looking at this week, and I've just been spent some time this week before the Lord and just studying this week, trying to get ready for the service. But we realize that we are living in a world that is getting worse all the time. We know that everywhere we look, we know that Satan is the god of this evil age. And we see the impact and the effects of his works everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we see. We know that Satan has got his hand into it. Amen. And we know that Abraham said that this is Satan's Eden, and Satan has 6,000 years to be able to design this Eden the way that he wants it. And we know that this is an Eden of darkness. It's an Eden of trials. It's an Eden of trouble. It's even an Eden of sickness. And we know that we live in this world and we have to put up with this world. But I'll just tell you tonight, we are not from this world. We are children of the light tonight. We are living in a dark, chaotic, world that cares nothing about serving God. They care nothing about pleasing God. But that ain't the way God's children feel tonight. Our whole expectation tonight is to do something that would please Him. And to have a life that would be pleasing to Him, that He would look upon us, that He would see Himself reflected in our lives. And we realize as the children of God living in this world, we are not exempt from the problems that this world has. Amen. Many of the same problems that the people of the world face, we face those same problems. Amen. You say, wait a minute, Brother David, I got the Holy Ghost. I agree, you do have the Holy Ghost, but your problem ain't your Holy Ghost. It's the body that your Holy Ghost dwells in. Amen. Your body is made up of 16 elements of this earth, and we fight this body every step of the way. Our body cares nothing about serving God. Our bodies care nothing about going to church. Our bodies care nothing about pleasing God. It has a mind of its own, and it wants to do that. But our Holy Ghost inside of you brings that body subject to the Word of God. It's because the token life has been put inside of your body, it brings your desires subject to the Word of God. When your body would want to do different, the Word brings it subject to the Word of God. When your body is tired, it takes the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to encourage somebody. Amen. There's days that we get down. There's days that we get distressed. There's days that we have headaches and backaches and all kinds of trouble. But you realize the difference between you and the world is when they get sick, they have nobody to turn to. When they get discouraged, they have nobody to turn to. But not me tonight. I've got a God that we can turn to during the hour of trouble. When problems are so overwhelming to you and you don't know what to do, you've got a God to turn to tonight. Amen. You realize your body gets tired, it gets down, it gets discouraged, it gets sick. But the Holy Ghost has never been sick one day. Hallelujah. My Holy Ghost has never been discouraged. My Holy Ghost has never been down. My Holy Ghost ain't never need hands laid on it. Come on, somebody. My Holy Ghost is on fire for God 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's on fire for God tonight. Your body may be tired, but your Holy Ghost ain't tonight. You realize, friend, what does people do today? They don't have the Holy Ghost. What does people do today? They don't have a God to turn to. I'll tell you what they do. They have nothing to comfort their souls. But Jesus said, I'm giving you a comforter tonight. Oh, I love Him, don't you? But it tells us this will be one of the darkest ages, or the darkest age out of all time will be the day that you're living in. And because of that darkness, Brother Ram said, it comes upon us, we will face more trials than any other age has had to face. Amen. We're going to have more problems than what they have. We're going to have more difficulties than any other day, because the enemy we fight is not just an outward battle. The enemy we fight ain't just a battle of our flesh, though he is there. Amen. Most of our battles around the message, it ain't drugs. It ain't alcohol. It ain't tobacco. Come on, somebody. It ain't our problems on the outside. Most of our problems is what we can hide within. Because people see outward problems, but they can't see inward problems. They know when something's wrong with you by looking at your face. If you've been drinking, they know it. If you've been smoking, they can smell it. But when it comes to the inward battle, you can sit right here in this service while the preaching is going on, saying amen to the word, and inside of your heart, you're dealing with problems. And from that, I'd like to speak on this thought tonight. Breaking controlling spirits. I'm going to need some help tonight. Satan has fought me all week, fought me all day to try to stop me from bringing this, but I'm here tonight in the name of the Lord. I said the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel. Amen. To heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free tonight. He has anointed me and He has anointed you, because whatever scripture speaks of the groom speaks of the bride tonight. Hallelujah. Not only is He anointed, but we are anointed. He is the Messiah and we're the Messiahs. And He's here tonight to set you free if you want freedom. Controlling spirits. Controlling spirits. Spirits we can hide from other brothers. Spirits we can hide from other sisters. Things that people cannot see. But inside of their body, inside their spirits, they're a ball of nerves. Ball of nerves. Things going on, but we just smile and walk right on. In all reality, inside of you, you're just twitching and your spirit is so out of whack. Letting off the pressure 62. We're living in a neurotic age. It's a neurotic age. The age that you and I are living in today is an age of neurotics. Nervous tension. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, you ought to know about some of that. You can't do nothing no more. Everybody is under so much pressure. Amen. You try to go to the gas station and they're so busy. Try to pay for your gas. They're under pressure. The people that work's under pressure. You're under pressure. We're all under pressure. But if you don't think you're under pressure, try to correct your cell phone bill when they mess up on it. Pressure. You try to tell them what's wrong. Nobody wants to listen because they're such in a hurry. How can they get you off the phone and get somebody else? And what is it? It's pressure. And worst of all, they won't give you somebody that talks in English. By the time you get done repeating yourself 5 or 6 times, you'll just go ahead and pay the 55 cents anyway. Pressure. There's pressure in our homes. Pressure at church. Pressure's on our jobs. Everywhere you look, there's pressure. People are under such pressure today. Everybody's racing here, going there, going nowhere. It's just at that kind of an age. And I know this church would be plagued with it. Well, Brother David, if I went to the tabernacle, I'd be all right. The tabernacle's plagued with it. Brother Branham's church was plagued with it. I'm going to tell you tonight, you're going to be plagued with it. I'm going to be plagued with it. We're going to face it every day of our lives because it's a neurotic age. Everywhere in the world is pressure. Hurry, hurry, hurry up. And wait. Get in a hurry to wait. Like a restaurant I went to the other day. Buffet. Sit down. Enjoy yourself. They got music playing at 100 mile an hour. And the faster they play it, the faster you eat. Everybody is in such a hurry. What's the hurry? Where are we going? Nowhere, Brother M said. Hurry up and wait. It's a dead pressure. Drive 90 miles an hour. You've been out there on the highways, ain't you? Brother, it's an eye-opening experience. It's the grace of God that any of us made to church tonight. And that ain't just Tennesseans, that's everywhere I go. More you travel, people going by, you set your cruise at 70 miles an hour, people are flying by like you're sitting on the side of the road. You know why? They're in a hurry. They don't realize it, but it ain't nothing. but the pressure of the age forcing them to do it. And at the rushing, they're speeding, it gets to you. Nervous, tension. He goes on to say it's all together, this tension's building up. Tension's building up. The result of it is doing something wrong and acting out of place. That's right, it makes the poor act that way. It makes the middle class act that way. It makes the rich act that way. Even though they got somebody else driving them around, they act that way. It'll make the wrong act that way. It'll make the pretty good act that way. It'll make the good act that way. And the church said amen. Because it's tension, it's steam being built up, but it's got to blow out somewhere. And if you don't, you'll blow the boiler up. Brother, nobody wants the boiler to blow up. But it's a pressure that we're under. You realize it. We feel it everywhere we go. Even today in our schools, our children are under such pressure. You realize, friends, they're fighting things that you and I never fought when we was in school. They're fighting demons out of hell, doing their best to control their minds. That's the reason our young people, they need prayer tonight, because they're under pressure. Everywhere we look, it's pressure. Everywhere we go, people's under pressure. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad we got a place that we can come tonight, that we can let the pressure off. Amen. Pressure everywhere you go, but the Bible tells us when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord raised the standard. He must raise the standard for you and I because we're under so much tension and pressure. How blessed we are to have a place to run to tonight. Brother and sister, you realize you sit here in this building tonight. You know what you're going through. You know the problems that you face. You know the trials that you're going through. But what you don't know is, sitting here hearing me preach, you don't know what that person sitting right beside you had to go through just to get to this building tonight. Brother and sister, you realize eternal life is not living your life for yourself. Eternal life is not pleasing yourself. Eternal life ain't just making you happy. Come on, somebody. Eternal life, Brother Ram said, is living for others. You have no idea what they're going through. You don't know the trials that they have. You don't know what the doctor may have told them this week. You have no idea what that person has been through just to get here to this church. You may not know that that person beside you, maybe they're having family problems or spouse problems. They may have an unbelieving spouse. And you don't know what kind of trouble that that person has went through just to get to be at church tonight. Give me some volume on these monitors. You don't care, brother. I'm about to lose my voice already. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the trouble that they've had. You don't know the pressure in their lives. You don't know the pressure in their heart. You don't realize what the devil has told that teenager tonight. What he's been telling him all week. You don't know what Satan has planned for you tomorrow. You don't know what he's got planned next week. So when we do get here, we should do our responsibility to create such an atmosphere in this building. Brother and sister, this ought to be our refuge tonight. This ought to be our refuge. We ought to be able to come here to let the pressure off. Not fight spirits, not fight demons. We ought to be able to come here to get a release tonight. We need a place that we can let the pressure off. We need one another. You may not think you do, but you need one another. Amen. But sister, you come to the house of God and we're here. We clap our hands and we're singing. We're doing all those things and we're worshiping. But you realize people can do that and everything not all right in their lives. Don't be so naive to think that everybody is here singing and clapping their hands has no problems. Amen, Brother David. Brother, if you sing only when you don't have trials. Amen, somebody. If I preached only when I hadn't had trouble. And if you didn't worship God only when you didn't have problems, you'd never worship God. Because Satan would make sure that there's so many problems, so many troubles, so much trial. He'd make sure that you would lose the blessing. He wants to block the oncoming visitation tonight. But
tonight we got somebody greater than our troubles, greater than our trials, greater than this pressure. We got the mighty God tonight. His name is Jesus.
Brother, I picks this up under discernment, and he prays for a woman who was blind. And now God's opened her eyes up, and Brother Bram says this. Now watch where I'm going with this. The doctor would say it was your eardrums went dead, or your eyes went dead in the nerves, you know. But really, what is it? The only thing he says is the nerve went dead. But what made it die? There was something taking a hold of it, controlling it. Something take a hold of it supernaturally. It didn't die all over your body. It just died there. If I had a transparent band around my hand holding it like that, it'd shut the circulation off. All the salve in the world, all the salve I would put on the fingers wouldn't help it. The thing to do, listen to the statement, the thing to do is to loose so the nature can flow again. Amen. See that optical nerve wasn't flowing in your eye because a supernatural being, a demon, a blind spirit had caught your nerve and was holding it. But now he's gone. Hallelujah. That's the reason you can see better. So if we can get that spirit loosed and cut the bands away from our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to be able to flow through us. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to put that band around your life, that supernatural demon, and squeeze your life and put pressure on your life until he controls your life, until he finally cuts the circulation off. Breaking, controlling spirits. But David, I don't even understand the supernatural. It's not that hard. God's super and you're natural. You put both of them together, that's supernatural. A demon caught her nerve and cut the circulation off to the eye until it eventually killed that nerve, that optical nerve, and the woman went down. It's controlling it. Keeping my eye from being able to see. Don't you see, friends? That woman would have never been normal as long as that demon was controlling that eye. Let me say it again. You would never be normal as long as that spirit is controlling your life. Because it's cutting the circulation and the flow of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God can't get His spiritual blood to completely flow through your entire body. And if we're not careful, it'll take parts of our lives. And it'll cut the Spirit of God off away from us where we struggle to live. You don't know it, but that's every one of our problems tonight. You believe that? Don't you see that's exactly what Satan wants to do to every one of us? He wants to control your life with fear. He wants to control your life with sickness and doubt. Amen. I come to tell you tonight, you don't have to be controlled by the devil no more. Having bad audio, huh? I'll leave this on and preach through this. All right. You with me now? Listen to this statement. See, a blind spirit caught your nerve and was holding it. That's the reason you can see better. You're going to be all right. I would never preach you the first part of this quote if I didn't believe the latter part of it. You're going to be all right. I said you're going to be all right. See, you can see good now. She says, yeah. God bless you, my mother. Go up the platform. I love this. Rejoicing and praising God. He didn't say go off discouraged. He didn't say go off sad. He said go off rejoicing and praising God. Hallelujah. One of the greatest controlling spirits that Satan will put on an individual is a spirit of fear. Amen, somebody. Fear is a spirit that can oppress you. And cause demon depression to come upon you. And he'll rob you of your joy of serving God. I say, I know what I'm talking about.
He'll cause you to rob you of your joy of even serving God. Don't you know Satan knows he can't take your salvation, somebody? He can't take your salvation. He can't take it away from you because God gave it to you. But let me tell you what he can do. He can rob your joy that you have to come to the house of God and receive the benefits of being here. You believe that?
Fear is the opposite of faith.
Amen.
As long as fear is present, you cannot have faith. Fear and faith is enemies. They're contrary one to another. Amen. Did you know that fear can not only spiritually affect you, it can literally physically affect you as well? That's the Bible. Luke 21, 26 says, men's hearts are failing for fear. Amen. Not cholesterol. Not high blood pressure. Fear. Fear. That's why when people get bad reports from the doctor, the first thing we do is fear. Oh no. Oh, you're kidding. Oh, this can't be real. This can't be happening to me. What are we doing? Satan immediately wants to put, because of those words, put fear upon us. Amen. Fear cannot, listen, faith cannot move while fear is sitting there. Amen. Fear brings bondage. Fear wants to trap you and squeeze you and take every ounce of hope that you got away from you. Fear is bondage. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 15, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Now remember, watch what Paul's showing us. He's showing us in the age that we're living in, which is the age of adoption. He's showing that we are going to fight a fear spirit among us. This ain't just to the Romans. This is to me and you who believes we're living in the hour of adoption where God has given us the strength to be able to call out to God. He wants to put a spirit of fear upon you to bring you into bondage again. What kind of bondage was I in before? It was a bondage of sin, a bondage of, oh my, the world. He wants to put you back in that same fear of bondage that you're not saved and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and God don't love you. Again, fear again, bondage again. Notice this. Not only does fear bring bondage, fear has torment behind it. There is no fear in love. Woo, glory. And God is love. Perfect love casteth out fear.
It don't pat it on the back. It don't tell you it's going to be okay. It don't pamper it around. It don't pet it around. Come on, somebody. It casts fear out. Remember what God did in the beginning to Lucifer. Michael casted him out. And when that same spirit comes upon you and try to make you down, cast him out. Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Expectation, 1954. Everybody with me now? I was telling a lady this morning, when you go to fry your meat for breakfast, and a big bunch of grease pops out on your hand, the first thing you thinking you just scares you to death. You grab your ham and say, where's Argentine? Just as quick as you can. The reason that it burns, come on somebody. That's what makes it burn, the scare. See, I can prove that. It's the scare that burns you. Praise the Lord. But David, you make it sound like if I didn't have a scare and a fear to it, it couldn't hurt me. That's exactly what I'm telling you. If we didn't fear cancer, it cannot hurt you. If you didn't fear diabetes, it can't hurt you. There's an element of fear mixed in our spirit where the word can't fully push it out. glory to God. See, you got the Holy Ghost that's operating in your body. Amen. When that old snake grabbed Paul, hold of Paul's hand, there's not a bit of scare. He looked at it like that, shook it off in the fire, and went on and got some more sticks. It didn't scare him. Jesus said, when did you fear, Peter? Come walk out of the water. Doing fine until he seen the waves were contrary. And then he got scared and began to sink. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus and wasn't looking to the waves, but he had full love in Jesus, he could not sink. But when he got his eyes on his problems and his eyes on his trouble, Peter began to sink. Why do you fear? You're scared? It won't happen. You're scared it won't happen. Don't have one bit of fear. Move forward. God said so. And that settles it. Now, that's not God coupled with your amen. God said it, and that settles it. Because the Holy Ghost is God in you, will always agree with that word. But it's the fear it won't happen. But what if it don't happen? I ask God for the Holy Ghost, but what if it don't happen? Ask God to heal me. But what if it don't happen? How many times do we pray, and there's words coming out of our lips, but the whole time we're talking, there's a fear in us, afraid that it won't happen. Brother, I ain't harking on you. I'm talking to David Seiler. Listen to this statement. Every time you start to make a march for God, look out. You're headed for trouble. I just expect him. I just expect he's going to give me trouble. If I want to do something from God, I expect Satan to come against me. He's a good adversary. He's got his job to do, but I've got my job to do. And you've got your job to do. If you're headed for trouble, the devil's going to lay right along that path there to get every foot in he can. He'll trip you, upset you, do everything. He's a devil. I like what Brother Ram says next. I just love to pour the scripture on him. It's almost like hot boiling water down the devil's back. I just like to pour it over on him. Don't you tell him it is written with the Lord. That's right. God said so. The devil says you're sick. God said you're well. The devil said you're nervous. God said you're well. Pharaoh said the devil hates me. And I know he hates you too. Amen. He's my enemy, but as long as God's my friend, I don't have no fear of him. I just drive him back. Take the word of God and move him right out of back out of a place that he thinks he's holding. He hasn't got no strongholds. He's absolutely, legally, in heaven and earth, legally. There's a contract against him legally. Hallelujah! There's a covenant against him legally! He's defeated just at church. Just when you're on the mountaintop. Just when everything's going good. He's defeated in every place. He's defeated in the hospital room. Come on, somebody. He's defeated in the ER. He's defeated in your home. He's defeated at this church. He's defeated everywhere! Devil hasn't got one legal right at nowhere. He's just a devil. That's all. Listen to this. Just a password. That's all. He's just an afterthought. He hasn't got a legal right to any man that'll accept the promise of Jesus Christ. He's whipped. Oh, I like that, don't you? He's whipped. He's whipped in sickness. He's even whipped in disappointments. He's whipped in everything. He's whipped in death. Oh, I like that one. He can't scare me. He can't scare you. That's all. He's just a big old shadow. Again, an expectation. Those are demon powers. Not a demon of your soul. Demon of your body. And when they come against that, they fear. And if you notice, one here will be healed of something. What's the statement? And then a kind of a kindred spirit of sympathy out there will be scared. And they take out the person. Have you seen that take place? Sure. They know when they're whipped. A spirit of fear, when the word comes around, gets scared. Them spirits know when they're whipped. But isn't it sad the devil has robbed us of so many blessings that we have of serving God just by anointing us with a spirit of fear? It's sad to see people of God, people who love God. They love His Word. They love going to church. They love Him. They love Him with everything that's in them. But Satan could put a spirit of fear upon a person and rob them of really having the benefits of Calvary. Remember, Brother Bram tells us the story how that Satan come to him and tried to tell him, there ain't no God. There ain't no God. And Brother Bram said, I know better than that because I'd already met God. So that didn't work on me. So he says, since that didn't work, what he tried to do was tell me that God don't love me. I mean, He loves everybody else in this church, but He don't love you. Amen, somebody. Satan is constantly changing his bait and his tactics over and over again. He's trying to find out what works best on you, because what might work on me will not work upon you, and what works upon you may not work upon me. So he constantly changes his tactics to see what works. He'll tell you, you're lost. You're lost. You can't be saved. You're lost. You crossed the line. When you thought that thought, you crossed the line. And you can never come back. Water from the rock. Don't that just take the scare out of you? God's with us. And although you sin, you got an advocate. Tell God you're sorry and come back. That's the way to do it. Don't think you're a cast off forever. As long as you still have enough desire to come to church, come right on. God is still with you. If your desire's right, God still is with you. He'll just keep moving as long. Oh my, He's calling you. He's still in the saving business to call you. He's calling you. He's still wooing at your heart. Come right on, no matter what you've done. No matter what you've done. Hang on, somebody. I said, no matter what you've done. There's only one sin you can't be forgiven of, and that's blasphemy. Come on, somebody. So there ain't nothing God can't forgive you for. There ain't one thing the devil can bring against you that can keep you from me and serving God. If God put a desire to serve Him in there, God still loves you. Because the devil will tell people, because of your past, God don't love you no more. Praise the Lord. God wants to forgive you and take you back and love you a little bit. He wants to hug you up to His bosom and give you a few spiritual vitamins and put you back in church. Hang on, somebody. In your position again. Because you're really the only one that can backslide. Because you can't backslide unless you've been there. Last time I checked, this means yes in Tennessee. This means no. You can't backslide unless you've been for it. He came to redeem and to seek and to save them which are lost. But Satan wants us to think that God's grace is so small and so tiny and so insignificant. If you do one little thing against God, you can't be saved. And that ain't nothing but a lie. Amen. Notice this. How do you do, sister? There's just about 80% of the congregation has got your trouble. 80% of the congregation has your trouble. You know why? It's the age we're living in. You want me to show you how many in the building suffers with nervous trouble, a nervous condition? Raise your hands all around. See? It's everywhere. Everybody can be healed though right now. Almighty God, be merciful. Seeing this dreary, weary spirit hanging around this woman and know that it would take her and put her in an insane institution and make her butt her head up against the wall until she died if he could do it. And I'll tell you, he don't want Baptists. He don't just want Methodists. He don't want just Episcopalians. He wants people that says they're covered by the blood. He wants people that's got message books in their home. He wants people that believes that God's in a prophet. Listen, Satan wants trophies tonight. He wants message trophies. He's already got drunk trophies. He's already got drug addict trophies. He wants you that says that you're an invincible army. He wants you that says you're an overcomer. He wants you that says that there ain't nothing the devil can do unless God allows him to do it. That's the person he wants. You love him tonight? But God, we come now believing you know he's got lots of support here tonight, Father. We believe that you are all the support we need. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, may this nervous demon leave this woman, every person in here. In the name of Jesus, come out from those people. God bless you. Again, being led by the Spirit, the first thing, the lady is suffering with a tremendous nervous condition. She's just on the verge of a breakdown. She feels like she's lost her mind. You see why you can't go by feelings? Preach. The reason that is because of a burden. She's burdened about somebody. She has a burden on her heart, and that person is her husband. Listen to this statement. The man has got something like a stroke or something that's bothering him, and she's pulled around with him until it's caused her to have a breakdown. That's the truth. That's right. Raise your hand. You believe that with all your heart? Now, you feel it's all right now, see? You feel better because as soon as you accepted it, that feeling left you. It's gone now. You don't feel it now. It's gone from you. If that's right, raise your hand. If that weary feeling left you, because I seen it when it left, just as a shadow, it can't hurt you. It's a devil. And he won't come to you no more if you'll believe it. But this woman don't have her own personal troubles. What caused her trouble is because she was worried about somebody else. Hey, that's a devil right there. She was burdened for her husband, and it caused her to get down and caused a weary, dreadful spirit to come upon her because she cared about. Listen, it's normal to care about people you love. It's normal to care about your husband. But she got so caught up in it that Satan used that situation to attach a spirit to it, and it caused her to have this spirit. God help us tonight. But sister, it ain't that she's got so many medical things wrong and she had this problem and that problem. It's because she was bothered because of somebody else's issue. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, you can be weary in well-doing. While you're sitting here doing what's right, you can become weary. Why serving God, you can become weary. Why going to church, you can become weary. Why preaching the gospel, you can become weary. Come on, somebody. Not preachers, but Abraham said when Jesus laid at the bow of that ship, he said Jesus was tired and weary. He wasn't weary because he had all this sickness and problems and trials. He was weary from helping God's children. You believe that? You can actually wear yourself out worrying about everybody else's problems. Or church family. Or your own family. Or your children. Amen. Look at the unseen. You believe that lady with all your heart? Listen to this statement. The lady with the little baby, you're in trouble, aren't you, sis? God bless your heart. I see you have a weary spirit. Look this way, sister. I feel for you. You're worried about your baby. Isn't that true? Just a while ago you were praying or doing something, wasn't you? He was asking God to let me speak to you about that baby. Is that right? I'm not reading your mind. I felt it a while ago. There's a whole group in that corner. They're praying. What's the matter with your baby? You realize that Jesus healed that baby when he died back yonder at Calvary. He paid the price. Your baby's about 3 years old, I guess, something like that. Is that right? And it stopped growing. Has no use of itself. That's right. You'll believe me. If you'll believe it, accept it's healed right now. They're sitting alone. The mother's arm now, even without holding them at all, she's got her arms away from it. Let's say, praise the Lord, the baby has use of its back now, and it's back now. Everybody be reverent. The little girl sitting right there next to you, what's this? Sweetheart, do you believe Brother Bram's telling you the truth? The little girl there with bad eyes, you're going to believe Jesus would make you well. I want you to put your little hand over your eyes like this and say, Dear Jesus, heal me. Dear Jesus, heal me. This little bitty girl, the devil has anointed her eyes. But now the devil's fixing to leave. This woman is concerned about her baby. It's a natural thing to have a love for a child. You love that baby. You want to take care of that baby. It's the instinct of a mother to do so. But Satan calls the burden of this baby's problem to cause a spirit to come upon its mother. And now not only is the baby suffering, the mother's suffering. You see how sorry he is. You see how low down he is. He don't care to anoint you when you're praying for somebody else. Brothers and sisters, there is real trials and real problems right here in our message churches. Amen, Brother David. Our families has got problems. Our young people has got problems. I preached at a church a few weeks ago. I was directed by the Lord to deal with the subject that morning, and I noticed the people weeping and crying all through the service. After the service, a brother came up to me and said, Brother, don't you realize what's going on? I said, no. He said there was a 13-year-old boy put a gun in his mouth and blowed his brains out. I'm not talking about out here somewhere where you don't know him. Right here in the good old ranks of what we call the message. 13 years old! The devil talked a 13-year-old boy into putting a gun in his mouth and ending his life. And don't think he wouldn't want to do every young person in this building and every one of you the same way. If he could do it, he would do it tonight. But he can't do it as long as Jesus Christ has his hand upon my life. Ain't nothing can touch me unless God allows it. Real troubles. Real problems. Real pressure. Don't you see, friends? It's not just out anymore. It's right here among us. Right here, people that believes the Word, loves God, sings and worships and loves Him so much would do anything for Him. This is where He's attacking us at. You're a mighty fine, strong-looking man to be suffering with nervous condition. Don't matter how strong you are, the devil don't care. But you can't help that. You've had it pretty near all of your life. It just bothers you. You've got a mental nervousness that's caused you to be weary. See how Satan keeps attaching, attaching, attaching. You're always thinking of things crossing bridges before you get to them. That's a nature of yours. That's right. Not reading your mind. It's the truth. You're always planning things that never happens that way. And it upsets you. And things like that, taking other people's troubles to your heart and worry over them when you really oughtn't do that. Amen, somebody. Help me. But God's here to make you well. Heavenly Father, I condemn this devil, watch this, that's tormenting this man. Satan, in Jesus Christ's name, come out of him and leave him alone. Constantly planning and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. Don't you realize the mind's the devil's playground? And when it don't happen the way our mind thinks it, it upset this man because of the nature that he has. That he maybe received it from a grandparent somewhere down this in his life. Maybe received it from somebody and now it's troubled him nearly his whole life. Oh, God. Let me hurry. A lady there suffers with extreme nervous condition. She's wanting prayer for her eyes because her eyes are getting dimmer and dimmer. They're going out. It's hardening the nerve in the eye. The optical nerve is dying, which is shutting off the sight. You're all upset about something. You're weary, and I see you shake your head and something. You even wonder sometimes if you're even actually saved. Come on, somebody. Be honest with me tonight. You got to be honest with. How can God help us unless when we hear it, we're honest with God when it strikes? You even wonder sometimes if you're actually saved. But David, you're a preacher. I know I'm a preacher, but I'm a man just like you're a man. Ooh. I know people can't take honest hearts, but that's what we need tonight, honest hearts. You even wonder if you're saved sometime. You've had trouble with that. That's true. You've doubted your experience of being saved. But I'm going to tell you right now, you are. You are saved. You mean somebody that's saved can actually doubt if they are saved. Huh? You mean just because you got the Holy Ghost doesn't take doubt away from us? It don't take things in our minds that makes us wonder and we're constantly fretting and worrying and worrying and worrying things we ain't got no business worrying about. Whew, goodness sakes. You doubt your experience to be saved, but I'll tell you, you are. But this is what caused my call. Some kind of a shock you had, some news or something. Shocked you all at once. I think it was the death of your husband last fall. God bless your heart, lady. Let's move the sadness. Glory. Everything will be all right. Merciful God, I stand before this dear woman knowing that there's a sad spirit around her. And I ask for thy divine mercy and guidance. He said, I charge that sad spirit to leave the woman. Christ cannot no more take a word back than what he said. Nothing, because he's God. He knows everything before he says it. And I condemn the spirit that would harm the woman. In Jesus Christ's name. And that same God's here to condemn that same thing in your life. That same God is here to condemn it in your heart. Oh, glory to God. Jesus Christ the same. Drop down a couple quotes. 39. I just want to say there's so many people passing through here that's suffering mental oppression, demon manifestation, oppression. It's real, friends. It's real. I used to make fun of people who had anxiety, think it's just in your mind. It is, but it's real. Amen, amen, Brother David. He'll make you think in the middle of the night that you're dying with a heart attack. And tell you, you're not going to make it till the morning. You're going to not make it to the next week. You're not going to live. Satan, I'm going to kill you tonight. This is your last night. You're fixing to die. And you hear your heart beat in your ear. And you're constantly hearing your heart beat. You think, oh God, just one more time, one more time, one more time. And when you begin to fear, anxiety comes upon you and that strange feeling comes over you. Those thoughts of death and thoughts of dying. Oh no, I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to leave my wife. I'm going to leave my children. What is that? It's a demon. I ain't hardly been sick a day in my life by the grace of God. 2 years ago, I was in the ER 4 times thinking I was dying with a heart attack. Working on the ambulance, I recognized the signs of a heart attack and I thought it was my time. I had every symptom that there is. I went to the headquarters there where our ambulance are, had them hook me up to an EKG to make sure I wasn't dying. They said, man, I don't know what's wrong. Your ticker's great. Everything's fine. So I'm dying. I'm telling you, I'm dying. It ain't because I've been out sinning. It ain't because I've been out running the world and running the bars. It's because I was dealing with people in our message that had so weighed me down and pulled me down and brought me so low I literally, physically thought I was dying. It's real! And you sit there and it's on your mind. You can't hardly think of anything else. You think, oh God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to die. Lord, I'm going to leave my church. I'm going to die. What am I going to do? Doctor after doctor, I don't find nothing. There's nothing wrong with you. You're okay. We don't see nothing. But to me, it was so real in my mind. To me, I thought it was so real. And the anxiety was so real. And the anxiety was. But it was a demon making me fear. Hallelujah. I seen a vision right before me of the young lady. She went back there and sat down a few minutes ago. She thinks she's crossed the separating line. She thinks she's crossed the separating line. Don't you let Satan tell you that. As long as you love God, God still loves you. Now notice this statement. Let this stick with you tonight. It has to be a creator to create that creation in your heart to make you love God. And Satan can't create. He can only pervert. So if you love God tonight, that's because the Creator has come in your heart and created a love for God. Satan won't give you that. Satan don't want you to have that. But God created that in you. Has to be a Creator. Create that creation in your heart to make you love God. Controlling spirits. Spirits don't die. Spirits don't die. Satan would love nothing more than to control you tonight. But I've come to tell you that Jesus Christ 2,000 years took the stripes. So you don't have to worry about this no more. But I said God's word will defeat Satan any time, any place, under any condition. Expectation. Keep praying. Keep praying. It's a power. It's a battle. I said it's a battle. It's the devil's fighting wrong against right, right against wrong. Quit being skeptic. Believe with all your heart. Be expecting that you're next. The Holy Spirit healing through the building. Be expecting to be next. Don't come to church. Just come here and sit and watch and just come here to occupy a pew and watch what everybody else does. Be expecting that your need is going to be met. There is no need of coming to church tonight and leaving here with the same problem that you came in with. This ain't just another sermon. This ain't just another night. This is your night, your time, your hour to get deliverance. But David, I don't know what to do. Cast all your cares upon Him. Cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. Aren't you thankful you got somebody that cares about you? He's watching you. He knows you. He knows your trouble. He knows your sickness. He knows your problems. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. Just think, the same God that brought you through your trial before is the same God that's going to bring you through this one. But Brother David, you don't know my problem is. I don't care what your problem is. You don't know how big my God is. Come on, somebody. The same God that brought it through yesterday will bring you through it today. And when you go through something more, He'll be standing right beside you. The devil will tell you, I'm taking you under this time. I'm taking you out this time. You won't even be in service in the morning. I say, yeah, that's what you said last time. But my God came on the scene. The Bible said, greater is He that is in me and he that is in my problem, my sickness, my trial, my doubt. Greater is He that is in me tonight. Do you believe that? How to overcome it. How to break it. Greatest battle ever fought. When the enemy comes in like a flood as he's coming in today, what did God say to do? The Spirit of God would raise a standard against it. Are you one of them? I'm talking about the standards. Yes, sir, we're taught in James 4:7. Now watch how deep and mysterious this is. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. You ready? It's deep. If you ain't careful, it'll go right over your head. Resist the devil. He won't just walk away. He won't just crawl away. Come on, somebody. Resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Here's your answer. The same way the chief captain told us to do it. Take the word of God. That's how to do it, by the word of God. The chief captain just told us just how it's done. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I thought I had to lay at an altar for 24 hours. I thought that my favorite preacher had to pray for me. I thought I had to be in a meeting somewhere. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Simply turn him down and let him know you're tired of it tonight and he has to flee. You believe that? What's the token? Think of this. If Satan tries to hand you some sickness, tries to hand you something, you know what to do? Show him your token. Hallelujah. Sure, sickness strikes the Christian. Show him your token and prove to him that you're a purchased product of God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Hold the token over your unmovable faith in his promised word. So when he hands you sickness, show him the blood. He hands you defeat, you show him your token. Amen. You show him, I got proof that I have been purchased. I've been bought by a price. Jesus Christ has bought me. He has purchased my salvation and he's purchased my healing 2,000 years ago at Calvary. But David, I feel like sometimes I'm all by myself. I feel like I'm all by myself and I don't feel like there's anybody else around and I'm fighting all by myself and nobody else knows what I'm going through. Nobody else knows my problem. That ain't true tonight. He knows. Brother, his eye's on the sparrow. It's on you tonight. Amen, somebody. You're not by yourself. there's angels of God around you. Come on, somebody. In this building here, Faith 56, in this building here are evil spirits in war. We all know that's here. Christians anointed and the angels of God encamped about them, trying to energize them with faith. You wonder what it is sometimes when you're down, despondent, discouraged. And you wonder what it is sometimes when you come to the house of God and you're sitting here and energy begins to hit you. And all of a sudden all your trials and all your problems begin to fade away. What is it? Angels energizing your faith. I'm sitting here just yielding myself. The Holy Spirit's moving. This is what you call heavenly places. But remember, Satan's also a skeptic of the sons of God. You know he is. He always does that. Someone with a skeptic idea, when they do that, he's trying to interfere. He's trying to interfere. But Christians always overcome. He didn't say Christians sometimes overcome. He didn't say Christians every now and then overcome. He said Christians always overcome. Sometimes, not just when the Spirit's moving in the church, not just when your favorite song's being sang, Christians always overcome. Brother, you ought to leave here with energized faith tonight to know when Satan meets you on Monday morning, you want to tell him, Christians always overcome. I cannot be defeated. I cannot be beat down. Jesus Christ has already done it for me. We need to have faith, allow our faith to be able to move out and God to move upon our faith. But you got to have faith that God has already done it. Remember what Brother Brown told us? He said, before Joshua saw one stone fall out of the walls of Jericho, before he saw one stone fall, Joshua in full army marched around the walls shouting the victory. Amen. Controlling spirit. Spirits where a man can't keep his eyes only on his own wife. Preach, Brother David. Spirits of doubt. Spirits of pride. Spirits of temper. Spirits of stubbornness. Come on, I'm coming up your alley. I'm coming to your backyard tonight. You might as well. Come on, somebody. These spirits are here and they're doing their best to try to bring you down and make you doubt and cause fear to come upon you to make you put you in a sane institution and beat your head up against the wall. Satan would take you to a premature grave if God would allow him to. Controlling spirits. Spirits of fussing between you and your wife or you and your husband. Preach, Brother David. Come on, somebody. I'm an evangelist. Stubborn spirits. If we're not careful, stubborn spirits will keep us off the altar because we're too stubborn to give in to God. Spirits of temper. Spirits of temper. But David, it ain't my fault. It may not. You may have been born with it. But that don't mean you got to keep it. Isn't it amazing? When we got trouble, we got all kinds of answers from why we're like we are. But I'm telling you, there's an answer tonight to your problem. Don't you realize some of these things that you fight? You realize sometimes sex strains and all types of strains runs in families. And if you ain't careful, you'll pass them right on down to your children. If somebody don't stop that cycle and keep that thing from moving on, you realize your children may suffer the same thing tonight. Be a man, be a woman, and stop that thing in its tracks. And say, you've tormented this family long enough. Nervous spirit running in your family, you let the devil know, hey, that nervousness is stopping right here. I'm driving my stake in the ground, believing God's word. This is the last night I worry about this problem. But Satan will make you think because it's part of your character makeup, you just are born that way. And you may have been born that way, but you also, we say we're born again with new desires. Amen, somebody. Don't you realize there ain't nothing a strain in your life, a strain in your makeup, your DNA that God can't take and extract that DNA strand from your life? Breaking. Not living with controlling spirits. Not putting up with controlling spirits. Breaking controlling spirits.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you knew how long I fought this week to preach this out, if you knew how many nights I laid in the bed with my eyes wide open, and Satan says, you're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. You're way off mark. And every time I'd go to study, I'd find this quote and another quote and a quote and a quote and say, God, you know what you're doing. I didn't get to preach what I wanted. I preached what he wanted tonight. Brother Branham, I'm saved. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But how do I get away from a stubborn spirit that I can't seem to break away from? My Christian brother, not devil, my Christian brother. Most times when you find people that's got stubborn spirits, it's usually a complex that causes that. Either they've inherited it from a father, mother, uncle, aunt, grandmother, grandfather, somebody like that. If you'll chase it back down through your life, I've taken it by experience and discernment because I've met cases on the platform. Thousands of those spirits. And the first thing you know, I chased that spirit right back by discernment. Fine. There was a granddaddy. There was a grandmother. Somebody else back down that inherited it by nature. Stubbornness is not of God. And the only way to get away from that is you have to have faith to overcome it. That's if you're a Christian, you're a son, daughter of God, whichever it may be. You will never be able just to stand and rebuke it and rebuke it and rebuke it. It's just tantalizing a rattlesnake. He's laying there ready to bite you. If you'll just ignore him. There's a lot of things I thought he was going to say at the end of this, but this ain't one of them. I'm the type of person, I like to charge it right on and take him by the nape of the neck and pick him up by the little back of the hairs on his little scrawny neck. If you'll just ignore him and walk away from him. If you'll just ignore him and walk away from him, he can't hurt you. When you feel that you got a stubborn spirit, lay that thing on the altar. And believe that God, that the thing is dead and you'll never have it no more. Go on, don't pay any attention to it. The thing will leave you. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's get away quickly.
Glory.
That would be my advice on how to overcome it. We overcome the devil by faith. That's what we overcome all evil by. We overcome all evil by faith. Let's bow our hearts tonight if you would. A stubborn spirit on a man that's a Christian. A man that loves God. Look at the person's honesty. Look at the person would think enough of this thing, realizing it's tantalizing him. And it's so much caught up in his mind until it's bothered, until he feels like he needs to write this question. To let Brother Brown know, how do I get away from this thing? Listen, friends, it's real. To this man, this was real. He struggled with it. He needed help with it. I wonder, friends, how many things in this building. Each person, I wonder what avenue, what tactic has Satan been trying to use upon you to tantalize you, try to make you think you're losing your mind, trying to make you think you're beside yourself. That's what they keep telling me. But the rest of they kept telling me, you're just beside yourself, you're just beside yourself, you're just beside yourself. It's real sometimes for us. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to struggle no more. That thing can break the band loose from your life tonight and allow the Spirit of God to be able to flow freely throughout your life. Don't let Satan come and clog up your life with something of these things. It's trial enough fighting, trying to just survive in this world, much less having to fight with these things that's constantly nagging at you and pulling at you and trying to break you down. Oh God, help us tonight. Don't you just love him tonight? Could we just sing this together? Oh my. I appreciate the grace of God tonight. Oh, I just appreciate him so much. Just let the Lord minister to you now. But hey, what am I supposed to do? Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Resist him tonight. Don't put up with it. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to struggle with it. You don't have to wake up in the morning, that thing be the first thing on your mind when you go to bed. That's the last thing. Leave it to him tonight. Let him take control of it. When you get the Holy Ghost, Brother Bram said, God becomes your controller. Don't allow the enemy to come in and take God's place. That's God's place. It's his sole desire tonight. He wants to control you.
Amen. I can still remember the wonderful feeling back when I first got to know you.
Well, you had that thing. Glory to God.
It seemed the world was mine. I had joy.
Let the Spirit of the Lord minister to you tonight.
But that's all.
Don't worry about being emotional. Don't worry about trying to put on a show for somebody. Worry about what that need is in your heart.
I guess
knowing that God
I
can help you with
eyes off you, Lord. I don't want this callous feeling anymore. Oh, please bring back the way it was before. Challenge. But indifference turned me cold, made things stale, made her mold. Now I lost that happy song I used to sing. It seems that I forgot the most important thing. I don't want this lonesome feeling anymore. Oh, please bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new again. I want to see you again. Bring back the way it was when we began. How did I miss the road? When did I lose the glow? Where did the wonder go? Bring back the when we began. How did I miss the road? When did I lose the glow? Where did the wonder go? got the new again. It wasn't long ago when my heart was glowing, and every new day was a challenge. But indifference turned me cold, made things stale, made her mold. Now I lost that happy song I used to sing. It seems that I forgot the most important thing. I don't want this lonesome feeling anymore. Oh, please bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. We'll never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. Said Jesus could meet my every need. When this prisoner finally touched Jesus, He set me free. Now praise His name. All that really matters. when you call on His name. Touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. Then your life will never be the
I'm You'll never make it in. I just say, hey, Satan, watch me prove you a liar again. I gotta keep pressing on and on and on, pressing. Say no need for you to go on, no need to try. Even if there's a rapture in heaven, you'll never make it in. You just say, hey Satan, I prove you a liar again. I gotta keep pressing on and on and on. I keep
thank you. Soon, yeah, I'm going.